Hey, if you've been worshiping with us, we've been walking through the book of John now since the first of the year, and we're up to chapter 15. If you want to turn there, we're going to start in verse 1, and we're getting so close. I mean, we are just a couple of hours away now from when Jesus is betrayed in the garden, when he's arrested, and the proceedings of that last evening will take place. We're not sure, the writers aren't sure exactly, does this conversation happen still in the upper room, or is this going on as they are going from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane? It's not a long walk, but it's a little bit of a hike, and they would have time for this huge conversation to go on, all right? There's two things that's going to major here out of chapter 15. Number one, it's going to focus in on bearing fruit, okay? Not the different types of fruit, but just the fact of fruit bearing as a believer. And the other topic that is going to be addressed is abiding, or your translation may use the word remaining. All right, and so that's what's going to happen. And let's pick up in verse 1. Jesus makes the last of his incredible I am statements. This is number 7. He starts out, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. We won't go as deep into it as we have at other times, but that I am goes all the way back to Moses. Remember when Moses asked Almighty God, when God spoke to him out of that burning bush, tell me what your name is. Who do I tell the Jewish leaders talk to me? And God says, let me tell you my personal name. I am. And so that's why this is so important here. Such a declaration of deity. Jesus didn't say, you know what? Well, let me tell you what my friends call me, you know, where I'm just a really good teacher, a really nice guy. I am Almighty God who has left heaven and come in the flesh. All right? Now, he's going to draw an analogy here with vines, a grapevine. And you know what? Unless you have some growing maybe in your backyard or something, we probably don't relate well to that. But in their time, man, this was so big. This was huge. The prophets in the Old Testament wrote often of Israel being God's grapevine, all right? And so what happened was Israel produced rotten fruit. They didn't love God. They didn't obey God. They didn't follow God. And so when the Messiah came, he said, I am the true vine. All right? So that's how all this ties together. You go to Israel and you understand the analogy because grapes are everywhere. And they are absolutely amazing. This is a huge part of their economy. All right? I am the vine. Jesus represents the vine in this whole passage of Scripture. My Father, God the Father, Jehovah, Almighty God, is the vine dresser. Right? We don't use that term. We would probably use a word like he's the gardener, all right? The caretaker. He's the one that is making sure that they are watered, making sure that they are fertilized, making sure that the vines are taken care of. And so that forms the platform for these next several verses, all right? Now, here we go in verse 2. Lots of things. If you're an underliner, you might run out of ink in this one verse. Every branch in me, huge phrase, underline in me, that does not bear fruit. In this verse, I want you to look at the different points on the spectrum, so to speak, of the different quantities of fruit that can be born from this fruit. Does not bear fruit, he takes away. Oh boy, that has given so many people trouble. Takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, see in the last line there was no fruit. Now he says, you're bearing fruit, He prunes, and you're not going to like that. Let me just go ahead and tell you this. I mean, you are not going to like it when we get to this word. So just go ahead and know that and just put your big boy and big girl panties on and suck it up and just say, God, I'm listening. All right? That it may bear not just fruit, but what? More fruit. No fruit. Fruit. More fruit. And then if we skip down when we get to verse 5, you're going to find out that there's another quantity here, and it's called much fruit. All right? So one of the things I want you to do this morning, if you call yourself a believer, right? If you identify as a believer, you've given your life to Christ, He has changed your life, you wear that name tag, believer, I want you to ask yourself, is there spiritual fruit in my life? And if so, where do I fit in? No fruit, fruit, more fruit, or much fruit? And is there really a difference? Does it matter what extent? Does it matter where on this spectrum that I am? And I'll go ahead and give you a hint. The answer to that question is what? Yes, it matters radically where that is. Okay, now, in these next few verses, fruit is going to be mentioned 8 times in those different categories. And you're going to find out that the gardener, the father, expects fruit. Why would you plant a grapevine? This is not hard, and this is not a trick question. Why would you, as the owner, plant a vine in your garden if you didn't want fruit? Right? Why would you go to all that work, all that effort, all of the details? Why would you go to that if you didn't expect fruit? Now, hang on. This analogy here, we found out who the vine is. The vine is, help me, Jesus. Thank you, both of you. The gardener is the Father, God the Father, Jehovah God. Let's keep going just a little bit farther. Every branch in me. All right, now, this throws a lot of people because a lot of times we compare phrases that don't have anything to do with each other, right? When Paul writes, Paul, all through his writings, uses a phrase, in Christ. If we are in Christ. And that is radically different than John's phrase, in me. They don't mean the same thing at all. Paul, in Christ, is referring to a believer. And in me, John, is referring to somebody that at least claims to be a believer. Well, now that's a little bit different right there. All right, he takes in me that does not bear fruit. What does he do to them? He takes them away. All right, many people in the church and out of the church, a lot of good people, and even a lot of bad people. There are a lot of people in your world that claim to be a believer. Right. And they base that on so many different things. You know, I'm a nice guy. I come from a good family. I grew up going to church. I don't cheat. I don't run around. I don't do this. I don't do that. I've served in a ministry in church. I'm a part of this denomination, or I'm a part of this particular belief. And there's a lot of people that claim to be in me, Jesus said. Claim to be believers that aren't. Doesn't mean they're bad people, but they've just never made that surrender of their life to Almighty God. They've never had Almighty God change their life. Because it's so much more than just being good and coming to church. Did you know that lost people can be some of the nicest people in the world? Did you know that they can be the friendliest and the kindest people in the world? Did you know that lost people make better neighbors than a lot of believers, which is sad? And neither of those facts are evidence that they're believers, right? That's not the defining sign. And it says, every branch in me. If you're a branch or you're a believer, that's what throws a lot of people off in these verses here. But I want you to know this. Every branch is not a believer. Fruitful branches are believers. You're going to find that the branches that don't produce any spiritual fruit are not really believers. It's only the believers, it's only the branches that are producing fruit that he identifies as real believers. You know what? If you just think about it, let's talk about this. So many, you hear me say this all the time. We've got the best people in all of Alabama right here. I mean, you are some of the kindest, most generous, most gracious. I'm telling you, this is a church like I've never been a part of in all of our ministry. Inside of this church, though, everybody is not a believer. And I'm not here today to make you question or make you doubt. I'm here today to teach you what God says about bearing spiritual fruit. Now, here's what I want to ask you to do. Would you just, for today, this is good. Would you turn your eyeballs inside, you know, like having ingrown eyeballs for just a few minutes? And would you look at your heart and your life? And I can't answer for you, so I'm in no way insinuating anything. But I'm asking you, would you look inside your life and say, God, would you search my heart? And would you let me know what you see? God, would you show me, is there spiritual fruit in my life? Or is that lacking in my life? All right? And then he will tell you what to do based on what he shows you is real in your life. And there's a lot of people sitting here that are believers. And there's a good number of people that are in and out, some are real regular, that have never surrendered their life to Christ. All right? But they would tell you that they're a believer. But there's no fruit. When they look inside their lives this morning, God, if you're listening, is going to say, you know what? Those verses about you're not bearing any fruit, man, that's talking to you. And the question is going to be, what are you going to do about it? That's the big issue. You know what? Right now, it's okay that you may not bear spiritual fruit. But if you end up that way and leave here that way, then there's something wrong. Because if God shows you that, I want you to do something about it. Somebody coined this phrase a long time ago. I've heard it for years and years. Here's what you can remember. If there's no fruit, it's because there's no, you hadn't heard it? No fruit, no root, right? If there's no fruit, spiritual fruit in your life, it's because there's no spiritual root in your life. There's never been that surrender of your life to Christ. The fruitful branches are the believers. The branches that are not bearing fruit are the make-believers. Not good, not bad, right? Just make-believers. Now, here's what I want you to see. Let's go deeper. That word pruning, you know when I told you, I kind of warned you that you weren't going to like it? It says, every branch that bears fruit, who did we say the fruitful branches were? Say it again. Believers, all right? So this is talking to believers. Every believer, he does what? He prunes. Wait a minute. Did it say he might prune? Did it say sometimes he does? Does it say he prunes, starts pruning when you get to be 90? What does it say? Every believer, he's going to do what? Prune. A successful gardener knows that on a grapevine, you have to cut those vines back or those branches back every year, and that makes them all the more fruitful, right? It makes them produce more of the fruit, the grapes there. And so what could possibly be, if he's talking to believers here, what could possibly be this pruning process that he's referring to? Well, this is what God promises to do in your life and in my life. He says, you know what? I'm going to constantly be pruning, and I'm going to get rid of things that are going to take your focus off of bearing spiritual fruit. You can get so wrapped up in your job and your family and so many other things that your focus comes off of living for Christ every day and bearing that spiritual fruit. You just kind of float to, well, I'll deal with that on Sundays when I go to church. But there's a lot of things that God says, you know what, if I could get rid of some of those habits that are in your life, the bad ones need to go. But have you ever thought that he wants to get rid of some of the good habits that you've got? Because we will make excuses for not being who God wants us to be, not serving him, not being faithful, because I'm involved in this and involved in that, when all that's doing is taking my focus away from being who God wants me to be. And there's some things that he wants to prune off. Maybe some of our language, right? Not just the cussing. I mean, that's got to go. Yeah. But how about the unloving? How about the hateful, the bitter, the uncaring? How about the criticalness? How about the griping and complaining? See, we never think that that makes God sick. How about some of the relationships that we might have? Some of the friendships that we might have? Do those all honor God? Or do some of those need to be put by the wayside? Because it's taking your focus off of being who God wants you to be. There's so many parts to our life as believers that, you know, what may be good that are keeping us from being the best that God wants us to be. But when God starts pruning, what do we start doing? We start griping and complaining. And we pray for God to stop. Oh, God, no, I don't want to turn that loose, right? Because we like to make our own decisions. We want to decide how I'm going to live my life, what I'm going to do, where I'm going to go, who I'm going to hang out with. And we don't like it when God begins to prune us. But God says, you know what? If I don't prune you, it means you're not one of my children. But we hate pruning. We hate it. God prunes us, number one, because he loves us. But God prunes us so that we will produce more fruit. Okay? You prune on a vine, on the branches, they come back stronger than ever. And if you don't prune, then the fruit decreases, decreases, decreases until it is no more. Oh, folks, has God ever put you through the pruning process? It's not pleasant, but you have to be able to thank God for it. God, thank you that I'm one of your children. Thank you that you're making me more like your son, Jesus. Thank you that you're making me where I can produce more and more and more fruit. Oh, so much are going on, all right? Another little saying that I've heard for years that I always think about when we talk about bearing fruit, and it goes right along with pruning, what we've been talking about. Do you know what keeps you from being the very best that God wants you to be? The good things in your life. Yeah, because as believers, well, there's nothing wrong with this. I can do this. Well, there's nothing wrong with this. I can go here. There's nothing wrong with this. I've got a lot of friends. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. But all of those things will pull your focus off of bearing spiritual fruit, so that in reality, when you look in your heart this morning, when you're asking God to show you what He sees, He's going to say, dude, there's not any. It's the good things in your life that keep you from the best things that God wants you to be. And you're going to have to get all alone with God and say, God, walk through my life with that one. I mean to tell you, I'm not sure that I can just take that on the run like we're doing this morning. Show me what needs to go. Show me what is sucking the life out of my spiritual fruitfulness so that I'm still enjoying life because I'm living it. I'm doing what I want to do, but I'm just not producing what you want me to produce. Oh, folks, a lot going on here. Look at verse 3. You are already clean. Who's he talking to? You who? You who? The disciples, believers, all right? He's not talking to a crowd. Even if they're on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, he's just got his little group right here. Or if, the way some writers claim, he's still in the upper room, there's nobody up there but those believers, the 12 disciples minus Judas, because he's already gone, all right? You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, the whole mood here shifts a little bit, and he's moving. He's still talking about bearing fruit, but now he's going to bring in a whole new concept of abiding, all right? Look in verse 4. Abide in me. There's John's phrase. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Three times in that verse, and you know what? In the next few verses, abide comes up 8 more times. And I've told you, if something is just repeated once, it is incredibly important. But here, you've got bearing fruit 8 times. You've got abiding 11 times. Do you think John's trying to tell us something? Was Jesus trying to teach the disciples what was so important to them? Because in just a couple of hours, he's going to be leaving them. He'll be taken away, and then he'll be crucified, and he'll die on that cross. All right? He's getting them ready for the hard times that are coming. And he says, you got to learn about spiritual fruit, and you've got to learn about abiding. Anybody got a translation that uses remain? Yeah, bunch of you. All right, same thing. Abide, remain, same root word, just different English word translations. But what does it mean to abide, right? Does it mean to just be a believer? Well, yeah, but not really. That's kind of like a definite maybe, all right? Yes, it does involve being a believer, but it doesn't stop there, all right? Because abiding in me is being so desperate to be all that God wants me to be. How do you get that? Seriously, think about the answer. How does that become real in your life? Are you desperate this morning? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. How does that come? Comes from your time alone with God every day. It doesn't come from showing up at church when you can. Doesn't come from just being good. It doesn't come from anything else in your life other than spending time alone with God in His Word and in prayer every day. This is where you learn how to be desperate, where you have that desire to be everything that God wants you to be. And part of that is, I just need to understand where my strength to live for Jesus comes from. Because we think it comes from each other. We think it comes from being in church. But your spiritual strength comes from right here. It comes from God. You have no strength in and of yourself to live for Christ outside of what He gives you through His Word and through prayer. Oh, folks, listen. It's that, and it's one more thing. It is understanding, and we've talked about this so many times, it's understanding that you are here for a purpose. Yeah. You're not just, God didn't need one more engineer, and that's why He created you. Amen? And all the engineer wives in here said, amen. All right. He didn't need one more coach, one more teacher. He didn't need one more NASA guy. He didn't need one more farmer. He didn't need one more preacher. You know what? That's not why He created you. He created you for a purpose. And abiding in Him is not just living my life and trying to be good, but it is being who God created you to be. Let me just ask you, and we can't go into this today. We'll do it another time. But do you know God's purpose for your life? Don't raise your hand. Don't nod your head. Nothing. But do you know God's purpose for your life? And if the answer is, well, not really, or if you're honest enough to say, no, then what are you living for? What are you living for? Look what Scripture said here. Look what it says here. Unless you abide, you can't bear fruit. It all comes down to this. So I wonder, how desperate are you? How desperate are you to spend time alone with God every day? How many times have we talked about the Barner surveys that he does, where he has come up with anywhere between 10, sometimes it's 12, 17, there's all different numbers from different surveys. The percentage of people who identify as a believer who have a time alone with God every day, the fraction is minute. And if you don't have that time alone with God, you're not going to produce fruit. If you don't have that time alone with God, are you really desperate to be all that God is calling you to be? And if you don't have any fruit and no desperateness, could it be? Could it be? I'm just asking the question. Could it be that you're one of the best people in the world who's never surrendered their life to Christ? Has He changed your life? Can you go back and tell me the story when He radically changed your life? I'm different, and it started right here. All right, can you do that? Let's keep going. Verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. There it is, verse 5. No fruit. Fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You know what the gardener, who's the gardener? God is. It's his vine. And we are supposed to be, if you're a true believer, his branches and bear fruit. As the Father, as the gardener, do you think He's in heaven saying, Jesus, I hope I just get one or two little bitty tiny grapes from these guys in Flint River? Is that plenty? Is that our favorite word? Do you think that's enough? Huh? I mean, just two little puny shriveled up. No. No, they need to bear much fruit, more fruit, don't they? You think that satisfies God? More fruit? Or do you think Almighty God designed us to bear much fruit? That's what He expects. Not wants, not desires, but expects of us. Answer it in your own heart. Are you bearing much spiritual fruit from Almighty God? Right? Now, Paul talks about a lot of different kinds of fruit. Paul talks about winning souls, leading people to Christ as one of the ways he identifies that in his list of fruit. It's Paul that wrote in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, and the nine fruits of the Spirit. There's all different kinds of fruit that Paul identifies. John here is just talking broad terms. Are you bearing spiritual fruit, yes or no? For without me, you can do what? Now listen to me. Don't lose me right here. Listen. Don't lose me. There's a lot of things that you as a believer can do without being desperate, without abiding in Christ. Did you know you could be a great parent and never bear any spiritual fruit? Did you know you could be a great spouse, husband or wife, have a happy home, and yet never bear spiritual fruit? Did you know that you could do good at your job? You can move up the food chain here. You can make a lot of money. You can provide good for your family. Oh, and never bear any spiritual fruit. None of those things in and of themselves bear spiritual fruit. Did you know? Let's go deeper, since you're all so excited. Let's go deeper. Did you know that you can serve in a ministry here at the church and still not bear spiritual fruit? You think it's just automatic? You think fruit just comes? God's obligated to produce fruit in your life because you're involved in some way? Without what? Without me. Without being desperate, without being determined, God, I want to spend time alone with you. And God, without knowing, understanding, and living for your purpose, I may do good things, but I won't have any spiritual fruit. So when you look in your life now, don't mistake rotten fruit for spiritual fruit. They're two radically different things. Are you finding any spiritual fruit in your life? Think about it. Don't answer out loud. Don't shake your head. Ladies, do not do that. God can do it without you. How's your fruit basket? Spiritual fruit. Is it overflowing? Has it got one, two little shriveled up down in the bottom? Some of you are looking in your fruit basket and you're finding that it's empty. My question to you today, think about it. What are you going to do about it? We'll talk more about that in just a moment here. Let's keep going a little bit deeper. All right, verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he's cast out. Underline cast out, all right? That is the same concept as we talked about in verse 2 where we found the phrase, he takes away, all right? He cast out. He is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. This branch is cast out and thrown into the fire. See, here's why I was telling you a while ago, you can't say that every branch is a believer. Are you telling me that he's going to take a believer and he's going to cast that believer into eternal fire? That believer can lose their salvation? No. That's impossible. Because it's a relationship that we have with Almighty God. What he's saying is those branches that are not fruitful are the make-believers. Probably great people. I mean, some of you are here this morning. Probably great people involved in a lot of good stuff. But they've just never surrendered their whole life to Christ. You've never asked him to change your life. You've never been saved. You know what? You've never had him give you that new heart and new life and new desires and new values. No, you're just busy living life and there's no spiritual fruit there. And I think one of the saddest things, listen to me, I think one of the saddest things today as we talk about this analogy, this picture that John's painting, that some of you are seeing as you look inside your life, some of those people that aren't seeing a lot of spiritual fruit aren't bothered by it. Well, you know what? It is what it is. Oh, well. Oh, well, I have to do better. Oh, well. You're not bothered by it at all. And you know what part two is? When you walk out of these doors, you're not going to do anything about it. You're not going to change anything in your life. And I think that's one of the saddest thoughts and saddest pictures that the churches across our state and country and world have, is the people that are coming that have never made that surrender to Christ, that their fruit basket is empty, are not bothered by it. And I don't get it. Because if I knew that I wasn't producing spiritual fruit, man, I'd get on my knees and I'd say, God, I am so wrong. I need you. God, I've been living my own life. I've been living for Steve. I've been doing my own thing. I need to surrender my life to you. Would you come and live inside of me? Would you change me? Being good's not going to do it. Being part of Flint River's not going to do it. You know what? Being great at my work, having a lot of money, whatever the case. God, I need you to forgive my sins and change my life. Man, that's what it's all about. And you know what the result is when you come to God with a prayer like that? He changes your life. And he teaches you how to be obedient. And he causes your life to begin to bear spiritual fruit. How's your fruit basket? How are you doing today? Okay, here we go. Last verse, verse 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit so that you will be my disciples. Look what it says. By this is my Father glorified, that you're one of the nicest people in Madison County. Right? That's not what your translation says? By this is my Father glorified, that every time you don't have plans on Sunday, you come to church. Mine doesn't say that either. By this is my Father glorified, and we can go through that list, because you make so much money, because you have such a good job, because your kids are doing so good in sports, because. No, none of those things are here. The thing that's going to bring glory to the Father in your life is one thing, that you bear what? Much fruit. Some fruit, a little fruit, a tiny fruit, bear what? Much fruit. Wow, what are you going to do about it? How's your fruit basket? What's hindering you from focusing your life on bearing fruit this morning? What is it that's keeping you from having a full basket of spiritual fruit today? I can't answer for you, but if you'll ask God, He'll show you. He'll show you. I wonder if He has whispered in your heart this morning, well, the biggest issue is you're not a believer. You know, you've been coming to church, you've been trying to be good, but you've never given your life to me. Man, if that's what He's whispered in your heart today, if there's a question or a doubt in there at all, then you know what? You need to deal with that ASAP, soon as you can. Because once you leave this service, once you get busy, once you go pick up your kids, once you go to lunch, once you get home and take a nap, you know what? Man, God has such a harder time to get back to where you are right now. Man, I'm challenging you. What are you going to do about it before you leave here in just a couple more minutes? I don't know that I understand my purpose in life. I don't know that I know how to bear spiritual fruit. Let me ask you a real personal question. Would you let us meaning church staff, would you let us help you begin to bear spiritual fruit in your life, to teach you how, to help you how, right? Would you let us do that? And if that's the case, would you go to that communication tab, go to that connect card right there, name, email, address, just put fruit on there, and I'll know what you're talking about. And I'm going to get you to sign up for Next Steps, because that is where we explain to you what fruit is all about and how you can begin to bear spiritual fruit. Oh, folks, how's your inspection doing today? Were you honest with God? Did you let Him look inside? Did you hear Him speak to your heart? So what are you going to do about what He showed you? You going to ignore it? You're just going to walk away? Or are you going to say, Lord, yes, I will obey whatever it is You've put on my heart. Father, we thank You. We love You. What an amazingly powerful passage of Scripture that Jesus spoke to His disciples on this evening. And God, how indicting it is to look inside of our hearts and lives and see us as You see us, to really realize, are we producing spiritual fruit, or are we just being good people? Are there lives that are changing because of us, or are we just trying to, look good in the world's eyes? Father, I pray for a church that, number one, knows You. For the people in here who've never given their lives to You, I pray right now that in the privacy of their heart, they're crying out to You, God, I do want to give You my life. Just like Steve was talking about, God, I give You my life. Would You forgive me of my sins? Thank You that You're going to the cross for me in just a couple of hours from our reading. And God, thank You that You're willing to be my substitute and my sacrifice on that cross. That You were willing to die for me on that cross, be buried, and on the third day, rise again to prove who You really are. That there really is forgiveness in Your name and eternal life. Father, that's what I'm praying that is being prayed all over this room this morning. Father, for the people that are true believers, God, as they examine their hearts this morning, how I pray that you put their finger, your finger, on different things in their lives that you need to prune. And that God, as hard as it is and as much as we may not like it, God, that we would invite you to do that. Would you prune us and keep doing it so that we'll be more and more and more like Christ? Father, what a passage of Scripture this is today. Thank you for teaching us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.